Good afternoon. Grace, mercy, and peace to everyone, especially to our new friends who are here with us for the first time. In the most blessed and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Want to be rich? This seems to be a silly question, isn't it? Who doesn't want to be rich? We all grew up in Singapore wanting to be rich. That has been the message since we were children. We study in school, we work hard so that we can be rich. Because we have been told by our parents, we have been told by society, we've been told by the world that the more money you have, the more secure your life is. Your future is taken care of because of the abundance of wealth that we have. And so some of us may come from poor homes, and we all have experienced the difficulty and the challenges of not enough. Like Elder Chu shared, he came from a family of nine, and that is a lot of mouth to feed. You have to have a lot of money to feed nine children, to clothe them, to send them to school, to provide for their education if they all decide to enter university. And it is very expensive, more so today than decades ago. And so more money has always been the occupation of our heart and our mind. Want to be rich is a non-question. Everybody wants to be rich. The poor wants to be rich. The average person in society wants to be rich. The rich wants to be richer. Who doesn't want? Billionaires are never satisfied. They want to be more than just billionaires. They want to be many, many, multi-billionaires. Isn't that the driving force of humanity? And so tonight, this is the question we are going to ask ourselves, honestly. Ask our own soul. Want to be rich? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us the rich man's mentality, verse 16 to verse 19 of the passage. What is the mindset of a rich person? Well, Jesus spake a parable, and then he said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. So this rich man was already very rich. He owned a field that was also very rich. Year after year, bumper crops after bumper crops. And so he got richer and richer as the years go by. So he was not poor, that's for sure. But he was not enough. He was not happy with enough. He wanted more. And so then he thought within himself, if year after year I continue to make more and more money, more and more money. So he started to plan. And so what do you think he had in his mind? What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And so he surveyed his barns, not big enough. Because if year after year, this is the amount that I'm going to make for the next 10 years, based upon the present amount of fruitfulness that my rich land is about to able to produce, and it has been producing such an amount for the past number of years. And so based upon his past experience, based upon what he can survey will be the next 10, 15 years of his life, this X amount, times 10 X's, I need bigger barns. Right now, I need somewhere safe to secure my wealth. And so he started to plan. There is not enough room now. And so he said to himself, this is what I'm going to do. Verse 18, I will pull down my barns, the old ones, not big enough. Then I'm going to build bigger ones. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Everything that I'm going to earn from the field and whatever I need to buy, I will sell my fruit of the ground, then I'm going to buy whatever goods that I desire for myself and for my family. Isn't that the mindset of a rich man, thinking of how to increase his wealth, to secure his wealth, just like many rich people today? Of course, ours is not the ground, the field. Our field is Singapore and beyond. We thank God for Singapore. It is safe. It is peaceful. Everything works in Singapore. And if you work hard enough, you should not starve. If you work harder, you might even make it good. And many have, I believe. There have been some individuals who have boasted that they have become millionaire before they reach 30 years old. They started with almost nothing, but by their hard work and their investments, by what they have done with their lives, they make a lot of money. And they continue to make a lot of money. And these are some of the individuals that some Singaporeans may know of, and you may want to follow in their footsteps. Find out the secret of their success in making money. And so Singapore is our ground that is able to bring forth plentifully. And not only Singapore. If you invest well, you can be an entrepreneur and you can go overseas and build your factories, your companies, your franchises all over the world. And then, of course, inflation may come in. And so instead of building bigger barns like this farmer, this rich landowner, ours would be some other kind of investment that will be very, very fruitful. Hopefully, it will be so much more fruitful than inflation, right? That's what we all hope to do and plan to do. Just like this man, how to secure my wealth and how to increase it even more. Because all this inflation can diminish it. It is said that if you just simply keep your savings in the bank account based upon the low bank interest, based upon inflation, you're going to lose more money than you gain. Isn't that true? And so it is not a very wise to just simply put your money in banks. It may be better to do some form of investment. And so you read a lot, you look around, you talk to people, talk to the right people that you think may help you put your money in a better position than in banks. Cryptocurrency, stocks and shares, whatever it is that will help you. Invest in maybe some art pieces, some very, very expensive watches, hopefully in years to come, or even buy landed property. Hopefully all these so-called investments may reap you good reward. Just like this landlord's thinking, the mindset of wanting to be rich. Can't help but fill their mind with all kinds of ways and means and ideas to make more money. Is this your mindset, dear friend, as you came this evening? Has this been your mindset since you were a student? Because this is why many work hard. Not just simply work hard, but to find jobs and professions that will make the most amount of money so that they can be rich. And so this mindset of thinking how to have more money, make more money, and safeguard what we make is an unending, unceasing thought, like this rich man. He couldn't help himself. He was really rich, but he wanted more. He wanted security. He wanted more wealth. Look into the fields. Look at all his servants. Look at the harvest that will come year in, year out. How to enlarge it. Because he said to his own soul, that's why the question is, want to be rich to your own soul? Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry, be happy. With this plan, you feel so safe, so secure for many, many years to come. More than enough to maintain and even improve perhaps your present lifestyle even after you retire sometime down the road. More than enough to provide for all my children. Anywhere in the world, if they want to study universities, if they can't get into Singapore, local U, mom, dad, we have saved enough, we have invested enough. No worries about our children's future and education. For the next many, many years, you plan, you say to your own soul, isn't that the rich man's thinking? Not just in Singapore, but I believe all over the world. No change. Because everywhere in the world, third world country, first world country, it's the same. Some would even fight, scheme, lie, cheat, deceive, just to get wealth. Well, at least this rich man, who was a landlord, it was an honest-to-goodness living. Of course, if you want to be rich by cheating, by stealing, of course, you will also agree that it is wrong. But what about hard work, like this rich man? Is it wrong? What's wrong for him to build his barn, to think of all these for himself and his family? Anything wrong with that? No, nothing wrong with that on the surface. But if you were to take a step back, and then you ask your own soul, you assume that you have many years, right? Isn't it? So many things you cannot control, but you just assume the things that have been going on all these past years, they will continue on the same way the next few many years. And so you started to plan for today, believing what you think will be your future tomorrow. Guaranteed to have more money. Guaranteed to now have peace in my heart, more than enough to eat and drink whatever I like and be happy. But then the Lord Jesus Christ said in this parable, in verse 20 to 21, He says that this is a rich man's foolishness. God said to him, "Thou fool." Now this word foolishness is not about your IQ, of course, obviously. It's about reflection. Why are you not taking a step back and have genuine, sincere reflection? Reflection about your life. Reflection about the reality of your life. You assume you have many years ahead of you. There are so many things in your life that you cannot control. Do you realize that? Your assumption is what have been in the past that have reaped you plentifully, that it will remain constant and the same, and in the years ahead, it will bring you the same amount of plentifulness. That's what you assume. And you assume you have many years. How do you know you have many years? You are planning with this idea that you have many years to live on earth. And therefore, you continue to fill your heart and your mind with how to make more money, how to be rich, and how to be richer when I'm rich. Do you not know that you only have one life to live? Do you not know how precious this life of yours is? Do you not realize that when your mind is constantly filled with more and more money, thinking that you're going to live in this manner forever and ever, you are not. That's what the Lord says. Why don't you have an honest reflection and take a step back and stop thinking of how to make more money, but how to ask yourself one new question. What do I do with all my money when I die? I can't bring anything with me. You have seen this in others many times over, right? You know this. You know this is true. You know that when you came into this world, you came in naked. And you know that when you leave this world, you will also be naked. So why am I spending the time that I have on earth, the only life that I have on earth? I don't have multiple lives. And this life that I have on earth is only one, and it is very finite. And if you are 40 years old now, if you are 30 years old now, please note, But the average lifespan of a Singaporean is maybe, what, 80 plus? And it's not guaranteed. That's an average. The youngest person I ever buried was a few weeks old baby. Death is no respecter of person. That's why the Lord said to this man, "You fool, thy soul be required of thee. Don't you know at any time you could die? Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" You know how many have accumulated tons and tons and tons of money. They can guard it, they can protect it while they are alive. Nothing will be given out, nothing will be paid without my signature. Yes, you can control everything that is within your domain, your billions of dollars that you have gleaned and earned. You can protect it. But the moment you die, it's going to be handed over to someone. And that someone can just simply waste everything away and dismantle brick by brick everything that you may have built. Do you know that? You spend your years that are very finite in building something that you hope can last way past your lifetime. But you know how foolish that consideration is. Because the moment you die, someone else takes over, as what Jesus said. And that person can do whatever he wants with it. And when you pass it on to your children, they can just simply waste it, and there is absolutely nothing you can do about it. Absolutely nothing. You know this. You know how precious your own life is. Then why are you pursuing something that you know is not true wealth? It's not true riches. That's why the Lord says, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." God says, you can be rich. But you have to be rich toward God, not toward yourself. Because you will die. And the riches that you have spent your hard-earned time and energy with sweat and tears, and some might even be blood. And you're going to lose it all. But when you are rich toward God, you can't lose it. Because God will never die. God is forever. But you are rich toward yourself. You will die. And everything that you have built will come crumbling down. It's only a matter of time. You know of so many rich people in the past. They were the richest people in the past, in their generation, in their lifetime. Of course, now they are dead and they are gone. You know of a man called Paul Getty? Long, long time ago. He did not come from a poor family. He came from a rich family. He also had a very rich piece of land. Of course, his rich piece of land was oil. He made his billions because of oil, petrol. That's how he made his billions. But his life was a mess. He owned so many, many companies. He owned so many, many yachts. He owns so many houses. It's even said that he had a house that has 72 rooms. Can't even imagine a house with 72 rooms. You know how huge it must be. It's not those small, tiny little rooms, you know, the size of our bomb shelter. I'm sure it is. Those rooms are magnificent, and some of them might even be bigger than our entire five-room HDB flat. Just one room. But you know what he wished at the end of his life? He married, divorced, married, divorced, married, divorced. He lived way past 100. All he wanted was, "I'm prepared to give up all my wealth just to have a happy married life." That was how he ended his life. Was he very, very happy? No, he was not. He was miserable. You and I know the problem with riches, isn't it? When you are so rich, and I've read the life and the stories and biographies of a lot of rich people, just for interest's sake. especially the riches of children who were born with a platinum, a gold spoon in their mouth. You know the problem? The biggest problem is they do not know whether people like them because of them or they like them because of their wealth. That is a lifetime problem. They could never, never get out of this suspicion. Are they nice to me because of who I am? Is he really my true friend because of who I am? Or is he nice to me because of my billions? Because they are around me. We eat in all the 5 stars, 6 stars, whatever, Michelin star restaurant. Live the good life. Can fly in my private jet. Sail in my private yacht. Everything is beyond first class. Billionaire's life, and so they stick to you. Are they really my friend? And maybe the only way that he could find out, right, is to have nothing. Give up everything. But you know billionaires, they can't give up everything, can they? How to give up a private yacht? How to give up my private jet? And then start, what, queuing up and buy economy? Like all these ordinary folks? When I can fly anytime I like in my private jet to anywhere I want to go at any time of the day and night? That's private jet. Spending how many millions a year to look after this yacht of mine, this jet of mine? No problem. Billionaire, multi-billionaire, want to be rich. And so, all these so-called rich people, like Paul Getty, died lonely, sad, surrounded by their cold, hard cash and their gold and their silver and their precious stone. But not the love of anyone. Because do they really love me, like me, for who I am? Do my wife really love me because of who I am or my billions? Do my children really love me? How to bring up children and not spoil them? When you go on holiday, how to train your children to learn to appreciate and not take for granted the billionaire's life? You're going to fly your private jet alone and your children are going to fly economy? Train them? No way, isn't it? And so your children will also be ruined. That's why the Lord says, you fool, don't you know how to take a step back and reflect upon your life? That's what Jesus Christ meant when he said this. You are not rich toward me. You're only rich toward yourself. And when you die, you have nothing. Not only that, you have something very, very frightful waiting for you because you have forgotten. Why must I die? You need to answer that question today. That's a reflection the Lord wanted this rich man to ponder in this parable. Because the rich man's desire is the problem, isn't it? Verse 13 to verse 15. The reason why the rich man is foolish is all because of his desire. And the desire will control the mind, isn't it? And so this whole parable was precipitated by one man who came to Jesus and asked Jesus, go speak to my brother, command my brother, demand from my brother that he divide, he share with me the inheritance. Apparently, for whatever reason, maybe mom and dad or dad left behind the inheritance and gave it to the brother and not to this other brother. And this other brother may have received a portion, but he felt that maybe it's not fair, it's not enough. And so he wanted Jesus, who had been sent by God onto this earth, to be the savior of the world. And then this young man came to Jesus and called him, Master, I have a problem with my brother, and it's about inheritance. You and I know what inheritance is. It's not something that you get from your boss because you work hard, like your pay, monthly payment. Inheritance means it's not something that you work hard for. It's just something your dad left behind as a gift to you. You inherited. And yet he wanted more. He wanted something from his brother. And so he asked the Lord Jesus Christ, can you intervene for me? You mean you are following the Lord Jesus Christ to help him solve your financial problem, your problem with your brother, who did not give you some portion of the inheritance or not enough that you got from your dad? Who made me a judge or a divider over you? You think Jesus Christ came down to earth to make you rich on earth? To get you out of your HDB house into this big bungalow? You think that's why Jesus Christ came down from heaven? To take on flesh and blood? You and I know why Jesus Christ came down. Jesus Christ, the moment he took on flesh and blood, God said, it is appointed unto man. The moment you become a man, you must die. Jesus Christ came from heaven as a Son of God, God himself, deliberately to take on flesh and blood so that he will one day also die like you and me. And then you come to him, this man, to help you, talk to your brother, to give you some money, part of the inheritance. What are you doing? Take heed. Beware. Beware. Beware of covetousness. Beware of this desire that you have wanting to be rich. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That is a desire, that is the trigger that will corrupt your mind, that you can't stop thinking of how to have more money. And it will ruin you. It will destroy your life. Because the reason why we die is because of sin. The sin that we have committed against God. That's the sin. Sin of idolatry, sin of the lust of the flesh, sin of the lust of the eyes, sin of cheating, lying, all sorts of sin, including this covetousness, wanting more money. And in this case, even from his own brother. And you and I know, in the papers, and you and I read of how siblings taking each other to court because of inheritance. And sometimes even more tragic would be mom and dad suing children and children suing mom and dad because of money, because of houses, because of property. All parties are covetous. And they destroy and ruin family relationship because of covetousness. And these people are not starving. They just wanted more. And they would sell their love for each other because of covetousness. That's why Jesus says, do not be foolish. Do not be foolish. And what can I do, you may ask? How do I become rich toward God, you may ask? You and I cannot be rich toward God the way we are, because we are sinners. God is holy. We can't even approach him. We can't even see the heaven that God dwells in. Don't talk about entering the gate of heaven to see him. Then what can we do? Because of sin in our lives, because our hands are full of sinful acts, our minds are so filled with all kinds of covetous desires, and our hearts are so dark and wicked and greedy. Very, very self-centered, isn't it? It's all about how I can benefit. Riches will do that to anyone. And you and I will also hide behind our family to use them as an excuse to justify our greed and our covetousness. Well, it's for my family's sake, you know. It's for my children's future, you know. Apparently, by this kind of noble reasoning, we think that it can numb our conscience. You know that at the end of life, the day of judgment before God awaits. That when we die in our sin, the Holy God will ask us one question. You die in your sin. You have committed idolatry, so many gods in your life, including yourself, including mammon. And because of that, and I'm a holy God, you cannot enter heaven. You will be cast into hell. And punishment will await you, torment and pain, because every sin Every sinner must be punished. You know that. And so God says, I need to help you overcome your covetous heart. I need to help you to stop thinking of money to solve your problem today and tomorrow. And the only way is for God to send Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, whom we also sin against, go down to earth, take on flesh and blood like these sinners, but without sin. That's why Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, without sin. All of us are born in sin. That's why our behavior, our mindset, our hearts are all covered in sin. And then I want you to live a perfect life in obedience to all my commandments, which Jesus Christ did for 33 and a half years of his life. At the end of it, these sinners need to be punished for the sins they have committed against me, God says. And then they must die. And so Jesus Christ says, I will be punished on their behalf. Whatever punishment they deserve, I will bear it. And he did. They mock him. You call yourself a king? They made a crown of thorns and forced it down his head. They scourged him. They punched him. They spat on him. They mocked him. And then they crucified him. And then he died. All these suffering, the persecution and the death, was because of us. The only way for us to be rich toward God is to get rid of sin and death in our lives. And the only way to get rid of death in our lives is to get all our sins forgiven by God. And the only way that we can have our sins forgiven by God and not experience the punishment of God for the sins we have committed against him is to find someone perfect to die in our place. And that's what Jesus Christ did. And because he's the Son of God and who became the Son of Man, his death is of infinite value, so that he is called the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And once you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, that's how you begin your journey of being rich toward God, to no longer be a sinner before God, but a sinner saved by grace, as Elder Chu has shared. From an enemy of God to a child of God. That's how God has made the way possible for us to be rich toward God. That is the purpose of this parable that Jesus Christ shared with this poor young man who wanted to be rich by asking Jesus Christ to speak to his brother to demand a share of the inheritance. But Jesus Christ offered him something far, far more valuable, to be rich toward God in Christ. That's all you need to do tonight. Whatever you may have done in the past in wanting to be rich, and you have spent so many of your years working hard to be rich like this rich man, and hopefully you will not be like this rich man tonight, thinking of you have many more years, thinking of the bigger barns that you can build, thinking of all the investment whereby you can have many, many more of your future years secure by your wealth. But Jesus says, how do you know you have many years? How do you know you might even have tonight? Do not delay, because the moment that you and I die in our sin, that's it. We will stand before God on the day of judgment. But the moment you truly accept Christ as Lord and as Savior, all your sins will be forgiven, because Jesus Christ has already paid it all in full for you. Because on the third day after Jesus Christ died, God raised Jesus Christ from the dead for your justification, that all who truly believe in his heart and confess in his mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and is my Savior, who died on the cross for my sins, he will not be ashamed. He will experience salvation, grace and mercies, and the deliverance will be real and it will be powerful. And you will never be the same again. You will truly be rich toward God immediately from henceforth. For the moment you die in Christ, when your life ends, the new heaven and new earth waits for you. That is what it means to be rich toward God. Do not be rich toward yourself. But then you may say, there is a cost that you have to pay. Yes, there is a cost. Everything that you do, there is a cost. If you choose to hold on to your earthly treasure, if you still choose to have this mindset of wanting to be rich toward yourself, then what will it cost you? It will cost you eternity. You will pay the price of your sin that you have committed against God, and you will be cast into hell forever and ever, and that is no escape. The pain and the torment that you spend there, it's so indescribable that we do not wish it upon anyone. God does not desire to see any sinner die in sin and be cast into hell. You want to hold on to your earthly treasure, and do you really want to give up the eternal treasure that God is offering you tonight in Christ? That Jesus Christ himself is offering you tonight. Believe in me, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto God the Father but by me. The moment you believe in me with all your heart, and you will never die. Don't throw this away. It will cost you your earthly treasures. Your mind will no longer be thinking of how to make more and more money. And whatever you may have obtained by any kind of wrongful, unethical method, you have to return. But that is the cost of accepting Christ as Lord and as Savior. All your sins will be forgiven. But whatever that you may have done wrong, you have to make right. You have to make restitution as evidence of your salvation, as someone who is truly born again in Christ, as someone who have truly become rich toward God. You can no longer live in sin. Your covetous heart will no longer consume you and control you. Your mind will no longer be thinking of money and more money and more money. You will be delivered from this covetous mentality because you will be given a new heart, no longer a covetous and foolish heart. And your life will truly be rich, a life that is no longer measured by the abundance of what you possess, but a life that is measured by a close, wonderful, wonderful, sweet heart that has been washed by the blood of Christ, all your sins forgiven by God in Christ, a clear conscience that you can approach God. And know you will never be rejected. To have peace in your heart. To have the weight and the burden of sin completely lifted. And you are a free man. The richest man on earth. Toward God. That is what true riches is. Do not be rich in yourself like this young man. Don't come to Jesus Christ to be wealthy and healthy on earth. But come to Jesus Christ who suffered and died on the cross for your sins, rose from the dead for your justification so that you can truly experience true wealth, the riches that is toward God that will last forever and ever. Not even death can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God, our most merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, to count the cost, to give up riches toward self in exchange for riches toward God. May every one of us, including especially our new friends who are here with us tonight, take this genuine and sincere step and to reflect upon what true wealth really is in every person's life. And tonight, O God, we pray that thy Holy Spirit will speak to every soul whom you have gathered this evening before thy throne of grace and mercies. And we pray, Father, that thy Holy Spirit will bring great conviction to the sinner's heart, that he may know and understand that he needs to be rich toward God and not to himself, for death will end all. Naked he came into this world, and naked he will leave this world. May he not leave this world naked, for he knows he can be rich toward God, but only in Christ Jesus, who lived, who suffered, who died for him, and rose from the dead for his justification, if only he would believe. May tonight be a night of conversion and salvation for all you have brought tonight. For Jesus' sake, O God, hear us. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.